The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Here's a phrase that's complete BS for The Burt Show. I ain't scared of no ghosts. Yeah, we are. That's why all of us backed out on doing this and gave it to the interns. So the assignment was going to be spend the weekend, or at least a night, in one of the most notoriously haunted homes in Georgia. We all thought about it for a while, and we're like, nah, I'm not really into it. So we asked the producers off the air, and they said, eh, I'm not really into it either. And we said, well, we pay the interns very, very well in credits.
I saw intern DeAndre's face. He's like, how are you going to finish that sentence?
Not money, but they need the credits. So let's send the interns to the most notoriously haunted home in Georgia. A, see if they survive, because it would be really tough to find another intern this late in the semester.
Yeah.
And secondly, what happened in that house? So we did send a couple of our interns to this house. Before we even get into it, though, if you didn't hear it on Friday, what is the history of this home in Georgia? Do we know exactly why it is so haunted?
All right. Ed from Ghosts of Georgia Paranormal Investigations is here, and he can talk a little bit about the house.
Hey, Ed.
Morning, Bert. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing good. I see your intern survived that house. It's just interesting.
Well, we sent two, and there's only one in here, so we're not exactly sure.
Okay, I jumped the gun on that one. But anyway, this house we investigated about a year and a half ago. It was built back in 1963, and we know that one of the owners had killed himself in the house.
Oh.
Also, it's on Lake Lanier.
Oof.
Most people know the history of Lake Lanier. And the black community, how they flooded a town where the black community used to live.
This was a flourishing community back in the day.
Correct.
You'd have to look at the history of it. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of racism going on. Lake Lanier, if you're not familiar with Georgia history, there's a racetrack underneath this lake. There's a whole city underneath this lake that they just buried in water.
That is correct. And with your interns going in, and you send them in, and they're all black. Sorry about that. But I hope that,
sorry,
you know,
that they're black.
Or your apologies. Sorry that you sent them in.
Oh, okay.
He's not sorry that you're black.
Dang, Ed might be the mayor of Lake Lanier.
Appreciate the clarity.
Oh, my God.
Hey, let me clarify that.
Yeah.
We got you, Ed. We got you.
Thank you. It's early in the morning. It's way past my sleep time here. You know? But anyway, you know, we were kind of concerned about racism might be a factor in the investigation, and I haven't heard the results yet, so I'm really interested in finding out.
All right, so before we find out exactly what is found there, I just want to know from intern Ethan, who's on the phone right now, and from DeAndre, what did you guys feel while you were in there? Because in the places that I've spent the night that are haunted, you can feel an electricity. You can feel it, and then you turn around and you don't see anything. Did you guys feel any of that?
It's so weird because there was none of that. I felt safe throughout the night. You know, obviously it's on Lake Lanier, so I'm already on edge. But I think that's just because of the location of where we are.
Right.
But I didn't feel like not safe.
Okay.
So
nothing. You were good.
I was chilling before it went dark.
Okay, and then when it went dark?
Then it went dark, I was like, okay, we had on, what was it, some type of ghost hunting documentary.
Oh, yeah, we were watching the Blackwell Ghost documentary on YouTube. I was trying to get them into the paranormal experience, and that may have caused a few things to happen. My bad about that.
Yeah, that happened, and then all of a sudden, someone, it, who, him, there, and that. I don't know the pronouns, but they were there. And they made sure that we knew that they were there.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Dining room lights. I kid you not, y'all. It came on, came off. Came on, came off. Came on, came off. Three times. I looked at Ethan. He looked at me. I said, we got to go.
It was like a light Ouija board. It was answering their questions. The light would come on and off when they'd ask a question.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything like this.
Ethan, did you experience that also? The lights going on and off and on. And how were you feeling when that was going on?
I was just in total disbelief. At one point, I dove under the dining room table because I did not know what was happening. It was just a lot. I mean, it was interesting to see what was actually happening, but I'm still honestly in just disbelief and trying to rationalize it in my head.
So you physically ran and ducked under a table thinking the ghost wouldn't find you there.
Yeah.
I have that on video, by the way.
You do? So that was your logic there. It's like, he'll never find me under this table.
Play hide and seek with ghosts.
You're going to lose every
single time.
All right, other than the, I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. We could stop right there. Other than the lights going on and off, did you guys experience anything else?
Yes. Yeah. The thing that really got Ethan the most was the door unlocking by itself.
Come on.
That freaked him out because I didn't hear it at first. I went over there. I was like, well, we're in a haunted house. Let's go and unlock this door. Like, that's going to do something. It just felt safer. So I locked the door, looked out the window, and then I turned to say something to Ethan, and he's like, did you just hear that? And I was like, hear what? And he was like, I think that door just unlocked. And I was like, what? So I go over there. Open the door, it's completely unlocked.
Ethan, this is the same thing that you experienced also?
Yes, because Amber went to lock the door. And I was like, okay, she just locked the door. And then I heard this little sound, the turning of the lock, because I have the same lock at home. So I'm like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be happening. And then she opens the door, and I was like, okay, that's the problem. But I was still trying to figure out if it actually happened. She locks it again, and then it happens again. So I start freaking out.
Yeah, so you guys committed to this because, quite honestly, as an intern, I would have left at that point.
Done. Here's all talking about the door unlocking and locking by itself. This is probably their best reaction of the whole night. Listen to this from their EVP session at the house at Lake Lanier.
Okay, we're coming back. The back porch light, that's motion sensor, came on while I was in the bathroom, and Amber just locked the front door literally two seconds.
It was locked. I just double-checked to make sure that it was, and Ethan saw me check it, and then I was like, you were like, was the front door locked? I'm like, yeah, I just locked it, and then I tried it, and it was unlocked.
Because I heard how it makes a little sound when it unlocks the little zzz, and then
I didn't hear that. Because when I said the door is locked, it's cool, and then you were like, are you sure the door is locked? And I was like, yeah, bro, look.
No!
It just did it.
So as they're talking about it?
It unlocked.
As you're talking about it unlocks again.
What?
But here's the thing. We started asking it questions. Oh, also the ghost like Britney Spears. Shout out to that.
That was weird.
What?
The spirit apparently is a fan of Britney Spears. Okay, this is what happened. We were at some point, you know, DeAndre loves to just sing random songs. And so one of them just happened to be, you know, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Mm-hmm. And we're both like, my lonely, we're just killing it, right? And then all three of us are singing and dancing, which is kind of weird. Three black people at Lake Lanier singing Britney Spears a cappella. Weird.
It's an odd choice.
Yeah, a little strange. So then, I don't know who it was, either Ethan or DeAndre played on their speaker. And so now Britney Spears is playing. And then there was a part where it says, give me a sign. And then all of a sudden, things just started.
Shut up.
Yes. I swear.
And then once he paused the music, you can hear like a fade out of like, give me a song.
What?
Yeah.
So in that last clip we just played, you guys were talking about the door locking when the door locks itself?
Yeah, we screamed a little
bit. Damn. Wow. So, okay.
And then we cracked down on asking it questions about, because, you know, Oscarville was That was Lake Lanier.
Uh-huh.
So something told me I need to ask and see who this man is. So I was like, hey, are you a resident of Oscarville?
Here's that part.
Are you a fellow black ghost?
Holy sh**.
So the light just turned off to that question. Is one of your businesses flooded under Lake Lanier? The light just cut on. Were you a part of the Black Wall Street?
That's crazy.
Okay, so we're hitting the spot now. We're hitting the spot. What was the town called? Look up the town. Look at the town. Look at the town.
So they look up the town. They figure out it's Oscarville, and then this happens.
Are you a resident of Oscarville?
That's insane.
Okay.
That's insane. This is amazing.
Are you proud to know that we have had a black president?
Dining room lights just turned on. Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm pausing it.
And then this.
You are not allowed to follow us once we leave here. I want to make sure that is known.
Okay.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Okay. He's flickering. All right. All right. So he just gave us the confirmation like 5 times. He flickered on and off, on and off, on and off. So, and we do know this ghost is a brother. So we approve. Okay.
There's the light.
And then the light comes back on.
As soon as I said this ghost is a brother, I kid you not.
The light just shut on. So he liked
the light shut on loud and proud.
I'm a brother.
He said he's a brother.
And then one time, didn't you see the light bulb move?
Yeah.
Yes. So
let me play the part.
Yeah.
The light bulb moved. No, it did not.
It moved.
How?
This light bulb twitched to the. It twitched to the left. When it shut off, that light bulb just twitched.
Can you do me a favor and like say one of our names into this phone?
So there was no name?
No okay. Name. We got one EVP the whole night. It seemed like most of the communication obviously was through the lights of the house.
So, Amber, let me ask you this. As somebody that does this as a side job, I mean, because you have an app and you have a video, you have a YouTube channel that does this all the time. Have you ever overtly been able to speak that clearly and get answers in real time like this?
Yes, but only if I'm using the Spirit Box or a Necrophonic app. I have heard real-time responses in my ears before, like, but it's really cold when that happens. But I have, but I gotta tell you, having it this incessant was new to me. I had never experienced something that was just happening so much. It was amazing.
All right, there's a couple more that I want to play. I want to play one more thing where the spirits were definitely showing out.
So far, the spirits have been showing out from the front door to the outside light, the living room lights.
If you're not okay with us being here, can you give us a sign for that?
Oh.
Okay.
So for reference, the door just twitched. Light shut off, shut back on, and came back on. I don't think we're wanted.
This is crazy, man. I mean, wow. Just to see it in real time like that over and over and over again.
So we have one Ed comb through this audio, and we only got one EVP. And it's one of the best, most clear EVPs I have ever heard. And I think Ed would agree that he's ever heard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You guys ready?
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you're here, can you give us another sign?
This has all been a prank.
You guys, the house was never haunted. It was, okay, we sent you guys to a house. We got to tell you what we've been doing to the house while you're there.
Let me give you the real history of the house. So our former intern, Caroline, is an Airbnb entrepreneur, and hers was booked. So we got her mother-in-law's Airbnb on Lake Lanier, and they have total control of the Alexa of the house. And she had control. Amber was in on it. She dialed her up so that she could hear everything you guys were doing, so she could respond when you asked questions.
I'm so sorry.
And she could turn the lights on and off. She could lock and unlock the door. Just be glad she went there the morning of before you guys got there. The fireplace is also controlled by Amazon or by Amazon Alexa. And I was hoping that it worked, but the motor was burned out. But the lights and the locks definitely got you. It was all a prank.
Well, here's one thing I have to say, Tommy, because at one point, Ethan said, if that back door locks, that's weird because that lock is not controlled by Alexa. That door right there also unlocked. And I don't, honestly, that wasn't part of the prank. I don't know how that happened.
I haven't talked to Caroline. She talked about sending her husband, they live right down the street.
They were banging on the windows and
she
stuff.
She talked about sending them up there and banging on the windows and doing stuff. So
they were banging on the windows.
Remember, that's why Ethan didn't sleep in his room because somebody was knocking on the window. He slept on the couch the whole night. And then the next morning, I go to get my bag and Ethan is standing on a chair taking photos of like the light bulbs. He's like, I just wanted to see there was like a model number so I can figure out what's going on here. Because he's a Georgia Tech kid, you know what I'm saying?
So Ethan, knowing that this whole thing was a prank and you diving underneath a table to get away from Amazon Alexa, are you okay now?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the night that it happened, I was with it. I was like, oh my gosh, there's a ghost here. What is going on? But as I like took the night to like calm down and I was like, okay, let me think about this for a second. I have that same lock at home. I know my mom, she can use the lock from anywhere. Like I've called my mom like, hey, I need you to like lock the door and unlock the door for me while she's at the office. So I'm like, that makes sense to me. That's why in the morning I was like, all right, let me look at these light bulbs, try to figure out where they're connected to. Are these something that can connect to the internet? And that's why I wanted the model.
Yeah, we even hid the Alexa and muted it so you wouldn't hear it.
DeAndre has this look of hatred in his eyes.
It is so funny. I came up with Tommy and I was just like, Tommy, I don't know. I got a feeling it's like it's all too good to be true. Were y'all scheming something? Like,
so you knew it.
Y'all scheming, and he was like, oh, no, no.
Absolutely not.
I'm a great actor. I don't know what to tell you.
I thought we were better than that.
I'm so sorry. I love you.
Clearly you're not. Clearly you're not. I cannot wait to see the video on this, though. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Over the weekend, I was having this glorious in-the-moment, right? And it made me realize that I need to come on here today and retract a statement that I made on Thursday before going to the Kentucky football game with Kristen over the weekend, right? And I've seen this list over and over and over again, and now I really think it's stupid. Ranking SEC or ranking tailgates in general is really, really dumb. It's a dumb thing to do. Because you know what? Every tailgate is awesome. Even, it doesn't matter what school you're at. So I went to Kentucky this weekend. Kristen and I have some friends, and this guy, weirdo, likes to spend time with friends as his present for his birthday and not actually get gifts. Weirdo! So we all went up to Kentucky for the horse race on Friday and then the game on Saturday. And I came on here on Friday and I was like ranking the best tailgates, which I think Ole Miss is just, they do. They win the party every single week. But then you got Athens, which is huge, and Knoxville I've been to also, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. And then I've been to smaller schools also. Kentucky's though, if you're looking at it globally and you are going to do a ranking, it's probably not one of the best, right? But the overall experience of tailgating itself is one of the, I realized this weekend, it's one of like the last social connections that we can do on a weekly basis together where it's just about community. Yeah, you can get it from church. That would be one place, that's mm-hmm. for sure. But it's just about community that I think that we're moving away from in an electronic world, and tailgating, no matter where it is, what the colors are, it's just, it's important.
So Joel got there super early to stake out a spot right next to the stadium because his wife is very pregnant and wanted her to do the least amount of walking as possible, which was super, super. Yeah, so I know, right? How sweet is that? Oh, we literally were like right next to the stadium. It was amazing.
He was all stressed out, like trying to find a spot like 9 hours before a Kentucky Auburn game.
Wow.
Right.
So while we were there, we did like a loop around the blue lot so we could just kind of, you know, Bart and Amanda could scope out the tailgate. And as we're walking, I see it like wash over him and also like wash over her. She's like, yeah, it's like this lovely sense of just community. Mm-hmm. And because you do have a commonality, which is your favorite team, it's just like, it's just so neighborly. And like the guy next to us, his people were late, so we helped him set up his tent. And then, you know, you're just exchanging food with people and drinks with people. And it's just like, yeah, it's just like this lovely big community of just kindness and support. And I was a very, very proud Kentuckian, minus the one D-bag at the end of the night that screamed F you at my friend. But other than that,
that wasn't tailgating, though. That was just one drunk college student.
But like during the whole tailgating aspect of it, I was like, oh, my Kentucky people are doing me proud. They're being so nice and so cordial and so hospitable.
Yeah, I just really do. As I was walking around there, I just really felt like in a world that we seem to be cocooning more and more and more and not hanging out with each other as much.
Yeah.
Like tailgating is, I don't know. I just felt like this sense of community, like no one's talking politics. Everybody's getting along. Every now and then you'll see a video of like two drunk dudes getting into a fight, but it's few and far between. Yeah. Tailgating is community. It's awesome.
It's this really cool concept that's been documented called the third place. So your first place is home, second place is work. And what's happened is as we become more electronic, we're losing these third places where people used to go hang out, like community centers, you could say bars. Tailgating is one of them. And it's like a place away from work and home where you can just go hang out with people and like talk without having to worry about work or anything. So it's so nice when it pops up. It makes you realize like, oh, we really need this to stay connected.
And you realize how important like food is to your community also. And like Kristen said, people, you're just walking. It doesn't matter what jersey or what color you have on. People are inviting you to eat at their tent, which is kind of a big deal.
Let me give my brother's business a plug. So my brother ended up catering our tailgate. So he started the side hustle of catering barbecue. So it's called Q 859, because, you know, that's the area code. We're 404 here. We're 859 back in Lextown. So Q849, and he had the pulled pork with the homemade barbecue sauce. We had Southern style green beans. We had hash brown casserole. We had baked beans. We had potato salad. And he made this little individual strawberry shortcakes for Joel's birthday.
But this is tailgating right here, because people were walking by and they saw us enjoying the food so much. They're like, what is that? And we invited them in.
Oh, yeah.
Here,
have
some pork, dude.
Yeah, please.
Just stay away from the dessert because that's too good for you. But it was an awesome, awesome time. It really was.
I had a good time.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's quickly talk to Emma here and check in with her, because she was stepping in the psycho over the weekend. We get these every Halloween. I'm going to go spy on my man at a Halloween party and see if he's up to anything shady. Hey, Emma, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, how did it go?
It happened. It took a lot of liquid courage, but we did end up with some, there were some results out of it for sure.
Okay. Tell us what happened.
Obviously before we even got there, like my nerves were totally shot. Like, of course we've started pre-gaming at my friend's house because there's no way I was going to be able to do that sober. So I probably had one too many White Claws before leaving. And I did not realize that. I didn't really feel that until, I got to the bar. Get into that. But my best friend and I went as we dressed as Ghostface from Scream. It's a good costume to hide your identity. And like we got, like we were in the Uber, I was like, I was pretty tipsy and I was like, is this a bad idea? Like straight up. And she was like, yeah, it is. But, you know, life's full of bad decisions. So we just, you know, whatever, go for it. Let's just do it. Like we got to the bar kind of late because I didn't want to have to like hang out there too long. And it was packed. And so we went to the bar, we got a drink. I could only drink out of straws without showing my face. So we made our drinks doubles so we wouldn't have to like go back to the bar a bunch. But that was a bad idea. And it didn't take long for me to find my boyfriend in the bar. Cause he doesn't like, he's not a costume person. So he's only wearing a cowboy hat. And I was shocked because he had his flannel unbuttoned all the way down.
Okay.
Oh, showing off your little chesticles. Spicy.
Yeah. His crew looked like, I don't know, like off brand, like Montana boys. I love that. And he was all like, you know, like bellied up to the bar most of the night. And it was super apparent he was like flirting with the bartender, you know, to me. And so at one point I walked up right, you know, I walked right up next to him.
So you're at one point standing right next to your boyfriend.
Yes, literally like at the bar. And he is just like completely oblivious. And he didn't even like look, you know, he looked twice at me. Like, and when the bartender, when the bartender came over, it was like so apparent he was really into her. And I like, I mean, I guess I get it. Like, she was wearing the sexy werewolf costume. But like, in that moment is like when it hit me that I was going to be sick. And so I like had to run to the bathroom. I managed to get my Ghostface mask off before I got sick, luckily. And my friend, you know, just sat there holding my hair and rubbing my back as I cried, like, you know, any good best friend.
It turns out for Halloween, you went as a drama queen.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, and then the universe did, you know, something, what it does best, let me say. The sexy werewolf bartender walked into the bathroom. Because someone had told her that someone was getting sick. And so she came in with a glass of ice water and a cold rag. Aww. And, like, she put the rag on my head and handed me water. Aww. And I was, like, I was too embarrassed. I was too, like, overwhelmed to, like, even say anything. Like, I couldn't even get thank you out to her. Because I was just so, like, drunk and in shock. And, like, we got out of there shortly later, like right after that. And I, you know, remember he thought I was out of town with my friend that night. And so when we got back to her place, I texted him good night and I didn't hear anything back until the next morning. And so I pretended to get back late last night and we still haven't talked. Like, I have no clue how I'm going to handle this conversation with him. Like, every time I have a conversation in my head, I sound crazy because of what I did to find, like, you know, find this out. So now I'm just in this awkward limbo right this minute with him.
All right. So my question for you is, are you sure you saw what you saw? Because, again, here you are, super buzzed. You're already going in there and your mindset is he's probably messing around on me. So he's looking at this bartender. Are you immediately saying he's guilty? And are you even in the right mindset here to know what you saw with your own eyes really was reality?
I mean, obviously, alcohol can, like, totally muddle a situation. But, like, the way he is focused on her and, like, he wasn't, you know, to my what I saw, he wasn't even hanging out with, like, his friends the whole night. Like, he was, like, talking to her. And I was like, I don't know who this girl is. I've never heard of a bartender that, you know, like, he knew or, like, had bartending classes with that worked at this bar. Like, I'd never heard of it. And he was so focused on her. And, like, I don't know. It just, that's what it seemed like. He hasn't, you know, he wasn't responding to my text message much when I was supposed to be out of town. Like, you know, it kind of just lines up. Like, he hasn't even really been, like, affectionate to me since I've been back. So, like, I feel like I saw the truth, and, like, I know the truth now. Like, it feels like everything lines up.
So now you have the conversation with him, and you tell him that you spied on him at a Halloween party?
Mm, no, we don't. We don't. We don't.
You don't ever do that?
We don't disclose that information.
Throwing up in the bathroom.
No. I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, we never confess to crazy in this house.
No. You have to come up with something.
Something.
Something. But it can't be, hey, I just want to let you know I put a mask on. I was spying at you at a Halloween party, because that's going to be a no all the way around.
I want to let this one go.
Godspeed with this one. All right, let us know after the conversation how it goes, okay?
All right, I will.
All right, bye-bye. It's The Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you know how much it takes for me to cheer for the Los Angeles Dodgers? I've told you guys that as a San Diego fan, I hate everything LA. Everything. So all I wanted was for the Yankees, who I've never cheered for in my life ever, to beat the Dodgers this weekend, right? Well, the Dodgers, as Mo came in here earlier this morning, told us, Dodgers beat Yankees twice this weekend.
They up 2-0, and the second game was handled very, very easily to the point where I'm scared for the rest of the series.
So why was I actually cheering on, what was it, Friday night when the Dodgers won? It didn't have anything to do with the Dodgers. It had everything to do with Freddie Freeman. Now, if you have spent any time in Atlanta at all, Freddie was a hero here, man. People loved this guy. And the rumors after he left in free agency to go to the Dodgers were like, there was a miscommunication. He didn't even want to leave. Shortly after, those rumors were kind of confirmed when he fired his agent. Nobody wanted Freddie to leave. I've met Freddie. He's the nicest guy. Anybody that's ever met him and his family are just like, I love this guy. So he might have been the only guy in this whole World Series that I would say, as Atlantans were cheering for. And Friday night, Freddie comes up. I mean, you talk about dreaming of this since you were a little itty-bitty kid, right? In the bottom of the 10th inning, and I think the Dodgers were down by a run at this point.
Down one.
Down to their very last out. They walk somebody to get to Freddie, right? Because they're like, oh, Freddie's not, it's not like he's going to hit a home run with the bases loaded or anything.
Oh, so they loaded the bases. They loaded the bases. They could get it out at any base.
Yes. So there's two out. They're down to their last out. Uh-huh. Freddie comes up on Friday night, and this happens.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is gone! Meet Freddie! Game one of the World Series! As it was on an October night 36 years ago, a hobbled game one hero for the Dodgers, Freddie Freeman, with a walk-off grand slam to win game one of the World Series 6-3 over the Yankees.
Unbelievable.
How many times are you going to hear that ball?
Wow.
It was one home run, right?
Got it. There's just no way to describe... I mean, there's just no way to describe it.
Would you say you don't believe what you just saw?
Yeah.
There it is again.
Okay.
There it is again, Mahomes.
Let's just replay it all over again.
I mean, it's four runs, so you got to hear it at least four times.
Okay. He hadn't had an extra base hit in a month before today.
They do it again.
Down a triple in his first at-bat.
Here comes again, dude.
No way.
He ends this
Come
game
on, man.
Jumping on the first pitch and launching a no-doubt grand slam that they'll talk about for ages.
This was so incredible, man. And again, I hate the Dodgers, but Freddie's got a bum ankle right now. He can barely walk on it. And unfortunately, in like the first inning, the dude hits a triple. So he has to run all the way to third base, and you could see him limping. And then nine innings later, hits this grand slam in the biggest of fashions, man. It was a huge moment for Freddie.
It was like one of those moments as a sports fan where even though you were rooting for the other team, you kind of knew it was going to happen before it happened. Like, as soon as they made the decision to walk Mookie Betts, because that's who they walked, which I understood. He has a real high on-base percentage, and I guess they thought Freddie Freeman was a little hurt, but I didn't. I thought Freddie Freeman was fine, and I felt like that was going to motivate him. Like, I'd rather pitch against me. Okay, and as soon as he was walking to the plate, I was with, like, four New Yorkers. We all watching the game, and I was like, he's about to hit a grand slam. Like, I just felt it, and sure enough, yeah, I just heard it 27 times. He hit a grand slam.
He hadn't had an extra base hit, as he just said, in a month. He had nothing but singles over the last month until this home run. So the next night, Freddie's not done.
It would have been 41 days since Freddie Freeman last homered before he stepped to the plate in the 10th yesterday. Hit that grand slam. Launches this ball right field. He's found the seats again.
Found the seats again.
He sure did, Kristen.
And he gets the barrel back to it. That's what Freddie
did.
All right, so congratulations to Freddie Freeman. He is missed in Atlanta, man. And if you're going to root for one dude that's on the Dodgers, that's your guy right there, Freddie Freeman. Sorry, my man. All right, Abby, so you're willing to die on one petty hill when it comes to Atlanta.
It is not petty. I would argue that this is a big deal in Atlanta. So over the weekend, I saw that some account on Instagram had posted that the number one airport in America is my favorite airport in America, and it's none other than the newly redesigned LaGuardia Airport in New York City. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is stunning. Really is. It used to be garbage. It was it was a bodega with terminals. Like, that's what LaGuardia was. I'm like, where are the cats? But I love LaGuardia because it means you're flying into New York. It's stunning. They've just redesigned it. There's this gorgeous fountain in the middle of it. You feel like you're in Vegas. It is 20 minutes from the city. It is the closest to Manhattan. It is just a great airport. So then I decided to be a little petty because I wanted to gloat the fact that my favorite airport is the number one airport in America. I wanted to also rag on my least favorite airports in America. And one of my least favorite airports in America is none other than the one that is 45 minutes, depending on traffic, from me. And that is Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. You shut your mouth. I hate this airport It's only exasperated by the fact that people think that it is quote unquote efficient. Have you been to any other airport ever?
Yes, I've traveled extensively before I had a kid. In Atlanta, hands down, the most efficient airport I've ever traveled to.
You know what?
I swear, when it comes to getting through security, I get through security, and it doesn't matter how long the line is, I get through security faster than any other airport I've traveled through.
We're in different TSA lines.
I didn't say to a man because we were flying to Lexington to hang out with Kristen and some friends this weekend, and our flight was supposed to leave at 1. It didn't leave until like 5, and even the entire experience, it just seemed everything was slowed down. You couldn't get on like the cars to get to the terminal. Everything just was not working right, and I said to her at the time, I'm like, does it seem like the airport is getting worse and worse and worse throughout the years? And she's like, I think so.
It's exhausting. You've got to go through the busiest part of one of the busiest cities in America to get to the busiest airport. You stand in line for TSA for 45 minutes, maybe on a good day, 10 or 15 minutes. But that's if you're flying out on a Tuesday. Who's flying out on a Tuesday? And then you got to hike your ass to the plane train. You got to fight all these people to get on the escalator, wait for the plane train. And then finally you're at your terminal and you probably have to walk another
another 10 to 15 minutes. I'm a local now, so I've figured it out, but I will die on this hill that we need another airport. I'm so sick of it.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's not that awful. No. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying it's not the most efficient, but it's not the worst either.
It's pretty bad, and I have a whole list. I have airports that I got beef with, but LaGuardia is not one of them.
MCO, I'll give you MCO. That's MCO Orlando. Is trash.
It's horrible.
MCO might be the worst in the country.
It is. It doesn't matter what day, what morning that you're flying out of Orlando, there is always a long line. And it's like everybody at TSA, it's the first time they've ever worked. It's like, oh, I didn't know how to do this.
And you know why? It's because like I'd say 99.9% of people who are traveling to Orlando are traveling to go to Disney. So they have like a slew of kids and that just slows everything down.
I do agree.
Any day I got to fight a Disney adult is a bad day. Kick me out of MCO.
That's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Nick Cannon is reflecting on his marriage to Mariah Carey now that it's ended. I saw this clip sent to me by Mo from The Shade Room. It's from Ray Daniels Presents, where he's talking about his lifestyle when he was married to Mariah Carey. I mean, she's a net worth of $350 million. This is one of the most powerful and rich women on the planet.
That's where the regret starts. He's giving up all that cash.
Uh-huh. So he's hitched to her, and he said that his lifestyle was just so incredibly lavish. Like, he's laying in bed, he's waking up, and people are bringing him steak on a platter. And he's like, you know, this is all fine and dandy, but then things start to shift a little bit when they have kids and the dynamic changes. And he says that he really struggled as a man to not feel like he was the alpha in the situation.
I can't go hunt. That's who I am. Yeah. I want to hunt. But.
And then when you have children and the hierarchy of just your man is like, wait, I'm carrying a purse, the diaper bag, you know. Yeah. I'm standing on the corner. Yeah. She rocking being all the alpha that
well,
she
Well, by
is.
The way, she deserves it, by the way.
And she did. I believe she needs a dude like that.
Yeah.
I'm just not that dude, you know. And her and I never had problems.
Yeah.
Never argued, never. Even with me struggling in this space, she's so understanding and so evolved and lives in her own world. That's the thing. When someone has their own world, like you said, their own scope, their own bubble, and you got to be a participant in that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a main character. And I was getting mad at myself. It was like muscle atrophy. I had a gut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not being the dude that God put me on this earth to be.
So basically he's saying that he got comfortable and complacent when he was married to Mariah Carey. Like, he didn't feel like he had that competitive edge in him to, you know, be like the alpha that's out there kicking it like Mariah is.
Yeah, he went on to say, like, basically the lifestyle somewhat made him soft, the steak every day, the people bringing him and beckoning at his every beck and call. But there's a piece of me that understands, like, as a man wanting to feel like you have to go out there and provide. But the way he broke it down to me, honestly, to me felt like he was just insecure about his ego and his manhood and being around somebody like Mariah Carey.
I think this is all ego. I can relate to it a little bit, though, just a little bit, because I can see his point. I have said this before in the past, that if I was with a woman that made more money than me, would not bother me, to be honest with you. However, if I was in a relationship where somebody had more of a celebrity status, where I was the one on the side and they were being noticed and all the time, and they were getting all the accolades while I was on the side, I'd struggle with that more. And I think that was Nick Cannon's problem.
Yeah, a lot of men say that. I don't have that problem. I would have been in there with my feet up, eating steak every day. I would have had absolutely no issues with my lifestyle if I was married to Mariah Carey at all.
I think Nick's proven us he's got a pretty healthy ego based on him having 19 kids and all.
he said that Mariah was keeping him from his purpose, what God put him here for. So is that his purpose? Right.
I didn't take it that way. I think it's one of those things that that was just the wrong person for him. That wasn't going to bring out who he wanted to bring out, or, you know, as far as his best version of himself, Mariah wasn't going to that he wasn't going to get there being with her. Not that that's on her. That's not her responsibility. That's his responsibility.
Yeah, there's a real victim mentality there that I was going to say also. Nobody can keep you from your purpose. Mm-hmm. You can allow them to keep you from your purpose, but you have control over that.
100%.
Well, there's something to be said about a level of discomfort that's going to motivate you. And so I understand, like, from a certain perspective, like, okay, if you are waking up every day in a million-dollar mansion, like, really, like, what is the motivation to keep creating and working hard? Like, if you really can just be Mariah's trophy husband. But it does feel a little bit like blamey to put it all on her, like it was her fault that I couldn't do this. It's like, well, you really had the best case scenario. Like, you didn't necessarily have to work. You just had the opportunity to do it if you wanted to. Like, you could have gone out and done a comedy special or done a TV show or a movie or a TV show. And at the end of the day, you know, you still get to come home to the million-dollar mansion and stake in bed with that beautiful woman who's talented, smart, and with the big bank account. Seems a little bit like a loss to just give that up. Mm-hmm. No. So yeah, Nick Cannon definitely getting some flack online because of that, because people are like, so your purpose is just to procreate?
That's what it seems.
And complain
like
on the internet. Uh-huh. All right. Fans are divided after Chapel Roan's tense interaction demanding an apology from a photographer. I'll explain on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No